Would please turn to the Gospel of John this morning, the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. I want to look at a thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this morning. I know that we've been looking for several weeks in Matthew 4 and looking at temptations and talking about temptations and a lot of different things. And we begin to look at overcoming temptations, and we will continue that study certainly again when the Lord, probably the next service or two, whenever the Lord lays that on our heart. But for today, I feel like the Lord placed upon our heart a thought today out of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And there's something that, as I was studying and looking in John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, we see John being, of course, the writer. And as you study also the epistles there of John, 1 John, 2 John, you'll find, of course, a theme in his writings that I believe that we need to look at this morning for just a few moments that I pray will be a blessing and a help. And certainly if you're here today and you do not know Christ as Savior, that it would convict your heart and help you to realize today that certainly there is a God this morning in heaven, and he does love you. And boy, I tell you what, the more that I study this word, the more that I try to begin to understand this great love which God has loved us with this morning, I tell you what, it just it amazes me. I don't think anybody could ever grasp certainly this great love wherewith God has loved each and every one of us here this morning. And so, of course, Valentine's Day being this week, and certainly the thought of love on everybody's mind, I feel like the Lord has placed upon my heart today simply to preach upon this thought today, and that would be the thought of love. The thought this morning is simply, or the title is simply, love. I want you to think about that for a few moments today as we stand before you, to think about love. I'm talking about real, genuine love. I'm not talking about the superficial stuff that the world talks about and the superficial stuff that so many people live within, but they never really experience true, genuine love. And friend, I want you to know again today, before I read the scriptures and give you the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon my heart for this hour this morning, I want you to know that you may come in this morning and you feel like nobody in the world loves you. You may come in this morning and you think, well, all that I've done and the things that I've been into or the situations that I'm going through today, that I just don't feel that there's nobody that genuinely loves me. Well, friend, I'll tell you what, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm glad that there is somebody today who loves you. Matter of fact, we all should love one another. We may talk about that some. We may preach a series of messages from this thought, however the Lord leads us. But I do want you to know today there is someone that loves you, and his name is Jesus. I'll tell you what, he's proven that time and time again. Listen, he didn't have to do another thing today to prove his love to you and to me. And so I want you to think about the thought of love as we read the scriptures. We're going to read out of John chapter 13. And then I want to go over to John chapter 15, also read you some verses of Scripture. But in your personal Bible study, I want you to, sometime in the next few days, I want you to look at John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15. I want you to look at I don't have time today, but I want you to look at all the times that Jesus is talking about love in these chapters. Of course, we have the great love verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so we see a theme in John's writing. It's certainly he emphasizes this love of God today, this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we are to love one another as well. So with that being said, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. And you pray for us this morning. I'll try to be as brief as I can. I realize time is moving on, but it's the Lord's time. And I pray that we've come today to seek something from him. John chapter 13, verse number 1 is all I'm going to read here out of this particular chapter. But I would encourage you, and I've even thought about sometime or another here at Pleasant Grove, we see here in this text that we have before us, of course, Jesus demonstrating great love to his disciples, how he washes their feet. And certainly there's some great things within that. I don't have time this morning, but the first verse of chapter 13 says this: "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father," watch this, "having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." That word "unto the end" means to the uttermost. Boy, I tell you what, we could just grasp that. If we could just grasp that this morning, that he loved them which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Then go over to John chapter 15. Go down to verse about number 8, if you would. I'm going to read down through about verse 14 this morning for the sake of time. The Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain." Notice that "my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment." Notice this. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you, Father, for another good day on this side of eternity. Lord, to thank you for health and strength, and again, just this opportunity and privilege to be able to come back to your house this morning with your people, and Lord, hear the teaching of the word of God, to be able to pray together, to fellowship together. Lord, to hear the beautiful singing. Lord, to gather around the word of God. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. And I pray now, Father, as your servant, Lord, I pray this morning for fresh oil. Father, I pray that you would anoint me. God, I pray that you would help me. I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me as I stand in this place, that Father, I truly proclaim the truth from the word of God that, Father, you placed upon my heart for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray, Lord, each and every one of us will be attentive. Lord, that we will listen not only with our ears, but, Lord, we'll listen with our heart today. And, Lord, allow the Spirit of God through the word of God to speak to each of us. And, Lord, each of us might be drawn closer to you. And then, Lord, each of us might be challenged today that, Father, we might, Lord, be a greater witness and a greater light and a greater testimony. And truly, we'd allow this love that, Father, you have placed, Father, within our hearts today, that we'd allow it to grow. And, Lord, we would be that witness and, again, that light that you would have us to be. And then, Father, I pray most of all this morning, if, Lord, there happened to be one here today that's never truly been born again. Lord, today I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to them today. And, Lord, I pray that you would draw them, convict them, Father, and help them to see, Lord, that the greatest need that they have this day, Lord, is you, that they might could begin to experience, Lord, this great love, Lord, wherewith you have loved, Lord, each and every one of us here this morning. Father, we do love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we don't love you like we should many times. But, Lord, we do love you today, and I pray now, use us. Father, use this service. I pray, Lord, today again, just move among us and help us to be obedient and submissive to the Spirit of God. Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Of course, we have Jesus here and his disciples, and we see that they're gathered together, and we see, certainly it's before, right before the Lord Jesus is going to go to the cross of Calvary and lay down his life for each and for all of mankind. And we see that he's gathered, and we see that here out of chapter number 13, what a great chapter that it is. But we see that he has loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them to the end. This morning I want to again think about just for a few moments the word love. And certainly today let us understand that it's more than just a word. It's more than just a phrase. It's more than just an emotion. More than just a feeling this morning. Love certainly today is something that needs to be put into action certainly in our lives and through our lives. And so as we think about love, I thought about this as I was preparing. Certainly, what do you think about when you hear or think about the word love? Probably for each of us here this morning, we probably think about many things. Many things probably come to our mind. But here again, Jesus is reminding his disciples many times in these chapters that we mentioned unto you this morning. Certainly, first of all, of the Father's love as well as his love for them and how they are to love one another. I'm afraid we are living in such a time that many are refusing and rejecting the genuine love that we can experience and share through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're living in a time this morning that there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of division, certainly in our nation and with our folks. And certainly that's not God's plan, that's not God's way. But unfortunately, we're living in such a time, could I even say, even in some of our religious circles, and I don't like to use the word religious, certainly this morning, it's about a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but even in the midst of our churches and folks that call themselves Christian, then this morning I'm afraid that there is no genuine love that's really certainly experienced and shared between those folks that say that they love God and that they love God's people. And so this morning that must be emphasized and that must be put into certainly practice. This morning, let us consider for just a few moments of God's genuine love toward each and every one of us here today. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad today there is a God in heaven that loves me this morning. And friend, again, I want to say it one more time. There is a God in heaven this morning, and His name is Jesus, and He loves you supremely. I want you to understand that. Not only does He love you supremely, He loves you sacrificially. I want you to see that. I may not even get to my points this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's a God in heaven that's loved you not only supremely, but has loved you sacrificially. In other words, He was willing to lay down His life on an old rugged cross. Listen, friend, He didn't deserve one thing that they done unto Him. I'll tell you what, it was my sin and it was your sin that nailed Him to that cross. I want you to know, hallelujah, God put love on demonstration there at a place called Calvary. I want you to know, hallelujah, friend, if you've never experienced the kind of love that God can flood your soul with, boy, I pray this morning, hallelujah, that God would put you under old time conviction and bring you to the realization today that you're lost and undone without Him. And friend, you have never come to the place where you have truly and genuinely experienced that genuine love of God in your soul. I'm telling you today, hallelujah, I'm telling you what, you can, thank God, experience that today. You can live in that. You can share that. Hallelujah, this morning, if you'll just come and give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, hallelujah, the world talks about love. Hollywood tries to promote love. I'm telling you what, it's not the love of God today. My friend, I'm telling you what, this is a genuine love today. Hallelujah, that'll cover a multitude of sin. Oh, my soul friend, think about that today. Hallelujah, that's how much Jesus has loved me, and Jesus has loved you today, my friend. He loves you supremely. He's loved you sacrificially. And He'll love you in spite. Boy, that's 3 points right there, isn't it? He'll love you in spite this morning of you, of your sin, of your rejection. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, if you go to that awful place called hell, you'll go this morning in spite of your rejection of Him. He still loves you today, my friend. Aren't you glad you don't have to go? Aren't you glad He was willing to pay that sin debt you and I could not pay? I want to say this morning, friend, have you experienced, have you not only experienced, but have you enjoyed? Hallelujah. I think we ought to enjoy it. Hallelujah. The great love of God that He has extended to each and every one of us this morning. Oh, my friend, notice in John 15, as I read to you there, He talked about that your joy, hallelujah, might be full. I'm telling you, my friend, when you begin to think about how much God loves you this morning and what He's done for you and what He's continuing to do for you and what He's going to do for you, I'm telling you this morning, hallelujah, it ought to make a dried up Baptist shout, hallelujah, praise God. I'm telling you today, friend, what a love, what a love, what a love today. Hallelujah. We'll give you a couple of things this morning about love. First of all, everyone desires genuine love. I truly believe deep down in an individual's heart, I believe everyone desires genuine love. I believe that. I believe that's the way God made us today. He made us that we desire genuine love. You say, well, preacher, why would you say that? Well, because the Bible teaches us this morning that we were made in His image and in His likeness. And as we study the Bible, we know one of the things about God is certainly we know about love, and love is not an attribute of God. It's who He is. It's who He is. Because the Bible says there in 1 John that God is love. Oh, my soul, this morning, friend, if we could just get a hold of that great fold of the love that He has loved each and every one of you with this morning, as well as myself. But I believe this morning, again, everyone desires genuine love. Not only does everyone desire genuine love, but secondly, I believe everyone deserves to be loved. And as I said this morning, in desiring to be loved this morning and deserving, do you say, well, preacher, what about all the folks that have done this and they've done that? And man, I'll tell you what, they've just went out and committed awful, awful sin. And I'll tell you what, everybody's sinned to come short of the glory of God. And we understand today that many across, certainly not only America, but across our world have certainly committed great sin and horrifying sin. But listen, that does not this morning take away the fact that God loves each and every one of us here today. And He loves this world according to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this morning, God, time and time again, has proven His love toward each and every one of us. But I do believe this morning that everyone deserves or desires genuine love. And could I say, everyone deserves to be loved. Even this morning, even though they may not recognize it, even though they may not recognize Him, I think about in these verses or these chapters, I think about old Judas. And I think about, of course, how Jesus had chosen him to be part of the 12 and how he had come in certainly and followed him and walked with him and heard him teach and seen him heal and all the things. I mean, he was right there. He was right there among all of it. But this morning, to understand that even though that he rejected, even though this morning that certainly he not only rejected him, we see, of course, he was deceptive. And we see, of course, he's the one that sold him out and all those things this morning. But even in all that, do you understand that Jesus still loved him? Is that not amazing to you? And then any little old thing... Oh, I might just preach right here a while. Any little old thing comes up in our life and we're ready to quit on God. We're ready to blame Him. We're ready certainly to reject what He has for us or the direction that He has for us or what might be going on in our life at that time. But listen, friend, I'm telling you, thank God for Romans 8 that lets me know that nothing this morning can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you? Now listen, that doesn't give us a license to go out and live like we want to. It doesn't give us a license to do what we want to do. Don't you misunderstand this preacher this morning. But I want you to know, irregardless of where you've been, irregardless of what you've done, irregardless of the times that maybe you're seated in a church pew and you've heard the preaching of the Word of God and God's pricked your heart and you said no and you said no and you said no. I'm glad this morning that God's love towards you today, my friend, has not lessened one bit. I truly believe this morning, not only does everyone desire to be loved, but I believe everyone deserves to be loved this morning. Even though we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, if you and I got what we deserve today, we'd be in trouble. As far as what this flesh has produced, as far as us within ourselves. But oh, I'm so glad today that God extended His love. Oh, I'm so glad this morning, hallelujah, that God extended His love. Oh, time and time again, when He could have said no,
I'm glad he come back one more time. Hallelujah this morning. I'm so glad that he extended love. I'm so glad that he extended grace. I'm so glad that he extended mercy. I'm so glad, hallelujah this morning, church, that he extended the forgiveness of sin. Oh, today, how much, preacher, does God love me? Friend, I can't begin to tell you how much God loves you this morning and what God can and will do in your life this very day if you would just allow him to this morning. Now, you can reject that love. You can refuse that love in a sense of not accepting it, but that does not keep him from loving you. Understand that. You say, preacher, are you telling me that even though I've said no, he still loves me? Oh, absolutely. I can't overemphasize that. Now, I wouldn't continue to live like that, and I wouldn't continue to reject that. That's not what I'm trying to tell you at all this morning. I'm saying come and experience the greatest love in your heart and your soul this morning, friend, that you could ever experience today by knowing there's a God that has loved you, that will love you, that loves you right now, and will save you. And as the choir so wonderfully sang about this morning, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah this morning. Thank God, friend. Oh, if you could just grasp, oh, Calvary, how God loved you, how God laid down his life. Oh, I know none of us feel like we deserve it. But, friend, everyone deserves to be loved today, my friend. And God does love you. Don't you ever let anybody, don't you let the devil sit there and slip up on your shoulder and begin to whisper in your ear, this Jesus that he's preaching about, he couldn't love me. I'm afraid there's people that really feel like that. But friend, there's nothing farther from the truth. If I've already said, he does love you, just like he loved these disciples. And I thought about within those disciples, we have so many things. But we have Judas, who ultimately rejected, deceived, and betrayed the Lord Jesus. But that didn't lessen Jesus' love toward him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's tough to grasp. Because, as I said, it don't take much. It don't take much that we're ready to quit on God. We're ready to quit on one another. People get married today and say, I do. Hello. I'm still here. And the first little thing comes up and they're ready to part ways. Sometimes big things can come up. Let's just be honest about it today. Sometimes old devil slip up. He'll slip in some big things. It'll come against us and come against our marriages today, come against our homes. And boy, I'll tell you what. Oh, yes, it was death to do us part. But the first thing you know. See, love brings with it a level of commitment like nothing else will bring. Now, I still understand that even in the midst of everything that you try to do, you can't make it work. Let's just be honest. Let's be realistic today. Unfortunately, there's times that comes up in couples' lives, but I believe this morning. I want to say this while I'm here. I believe if the man's saved, and if the woman's saved, and I believe if they really will surrender their heart to the Lord Jesus and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do a work in their hearts, friend, I believe that you can work through anything. I believe you can get through anything if both parties are willing, if there's true, genuine love, that level of commitment that Jesus had for you and I when he went. Aren't you glad when it got hard? When it got tough? Aren't you glad glad that he didn't lay it down? Aren't you glad that he went all the way? Why this morning? Because there are some folks, hallelujah, thank God, millions of people, multitudes of people, hallelujah, that wanted and needed to experience the love of God, that needed that forgiveness that only Christ can bring. I'm telling you today, I'm glad that he didn't quit. I'm glad that he didn't give up. I'm glad he was committed. He was committed. He was committed to loving you and I this morning.
Amen. We ought to be committed to one another. We ought to be committed to him. Of course, as we come to the New Testament, we come out of the Old Testament into the New. Of course, Jesus was asked on many occasions, what's the great commandments? What commandments should we be concerned about? And what's the greatest commandments in all this? And of course, Jesus just told them to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And then to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we get caught up in a lot of things. Let's just be honest. We get caught up in a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, it ain't nothing love. I'm talking about genuine love can't fix.
Man.
Preacher, do you believe that? If I didn't believe that, I'd close the book and go home. We say that we love, but do we really genuinely love? Love that brings about, see, this is that agape love. As you study your Bible, which is that deepest kind of love. That love that's willing to go the extra mile. That love that's willing to go through that terrible trial. That love this morning that says, I first of all want to be faithful to my God. I want to be faithful to my spouse. I want to be faithful to my family. I want to be faithful to his cause. Since we've been preaching about certainly all these things around us that hinder us, and all the temptations around us that are used of Satan to draw us away. Man, if we just fall in love with Jesus and fall in love one with another, I'm telling you what, it would absolutely cure a whole lot of the problems that we are facing in our homes and we face in our church. I'm talking about genuine love. As I said this morning, truly believe that everyone desires genuine love. But also this morning, I believe everyone deserves to be loved. Husbands, your wives deserve to be loved. Amen. Wives, your husbands deserve to be loved. Mom and dad, those children that God has entrusted to you, they deserve to be loved. We want to give them, I know I've said this before, but let me go ahead and say it one more time. We want to give them all the latest gadgets. And we want to make sure, and I've been guilty of making the same statement, we want them to have more than what we had. Anybody else ever been guilty of that fault or even making that statement? Oh, I just want my children to have more than I had. I want them to have it easier than I had it. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I've been thinking about this thing for a little while. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't know that's the very best thing. Amen. I mean, let's think about the family relationship for just a little bit. I mean, if you go out and eat anywhere in a restaurant, anywhere, Mama's on the cell phone, Daddy's on the cell phone, little Sally's on the cell phone, Johnny's on the cell phone. There's no interaction. They get home. One goes to their bedroom. Another goes to their bedroom. One flips the television on. One's got a computer screen going. And I'm going to tell you what, they've got all that the world has to offer today. But what they really deserve and what they really need is some genuine love today, my friend. Sometimes they need a little hard love.
Right.
Aren't you glad when you and I get out of line, God loves you and I enough to let us know it? Oh, my. Now, we don't like it at that time very much, but, boy, I'm sure glad this morning that God loves me enough that when I get out of line, He lets me know that He's around and that I'm messing up or I'm getting ready to mess up. I'm getting ready to get myself in trouble, and sometimes I just go ahead and do it anyhow. So does that mean He doesn't love me anymore? No, not according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man! Yeah. Just like our children. Irregardless of what our children may do, irregardless of what they may get into, we're going to love them. Anybody that's got any sense at all, anybody that's got any heart, if you know God today, irregardless, you're going to love them. May not love what they do. You may not love what they done. But you're going to love them. And you may have to give them a little hard love. But could I say children deserve some love? They need to know what love is. They need to see, Mom, Dad, they need to see love demonstrated in the home. They need to see that Mom and Daddy's not going to fight like cats and dogs all the time. Listen, if you're going to sit in your home and fight like cats and dogs all the time, you ought to get yourself in this altar and get right with God, get right one with another. Amen. I don't know why I'm preaching it. Evidently, somebody needs it. But if you're fighting like cats and dogs and then come to church and get in the choir and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," friend, there's something bad wrong. Oh, man, it's tough plowing this morning, isn't it? It's kind of like that Sunday school lesson, Brother Scotty, where Paul was talking about, boy, they loved him as long as he's telling them what they wanted to hear. But boy, I tell you, they's getting upset with him when he was telling them the truth that they didn't want to hear. Well, I just love you enough this morning to tell you the truth. You can love me or not. Well, you have to love me if you love God. You really ain't got much choice. I've said this before, and I will say it again, my pastor. He was a big old, he's a big man. Man, he could get in that pulpit and he looked like he was 8 foot tall. And he had one finger cut off where he cut off in an accident years ago. He was a carpenter by trade, done some carpenter work. And boy, he'd point that big hand out there and that finger had been cut off, was pointing right at me and said, "Friend, I'll tell you one thing. I'm telling you one thing. You're going to have to love me. If you really love God, you're going to have to love me." And he said, "I love you, and there's not a thing you can do about it." But our children deserve to be loved. They deserve to grow up in an environment where love is practiced. Because if they don't ever see it there, they're going to grow up and they're going to get out on their own. They're going to get in a relationship of their own. Dad, the way you treat your wife will be the way Johnny most likely will treat his wife.
Amen.
Mom, the way you treat Sally, the way you bring her up, the way that you rear her, and the way that you show love towards your husband will be the same way, most likely, she's going to show love to her husband. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, brothers and sisters, that brings in a great wide range of things that we need to get a hold of this morning. Husbands, your wife deserves to be loved as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Right.
The Bible says, wives, reverence your husbands. It says to submit to them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We talk about love. Oh, Valentine's Day. Oh, we go out and have us a nice meal together. Hey, you ought to take your wife out, feed her a nice meal. Hey, ladies, I'm trying to help you. But see, this thing of love is more than just one day a year. I've been thinking about some thoughts that I know time's slipping away, that I may try to continue to preach on this love thing in the home and the family and all those things. But man, it's got to be worked on. Oh, if they come prancing down the altar and get in front of the preacher and say I do and smooch and go out the door. Friend, that's when the work starts.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's when it starts.
Yeah.
And a husband and wife is not willing to work on their relationship and work on that love and fall in love more with Jesus and fall more in love. Listen, I love my wife more today the day I married her. And today she's older than I am. Truth. I'm preaching truth, baby doll. I'm preaching truth. A couple months I'll catch her, so ain't no big deal. But why? Because everyone desires to be loved. Everyone deserves to be loved. I'm talking about genuinely loved. And friend, I believe we truly have today, we have to experience the love of God, the love of Christ in our hearts before we can ever begin to share and show genuine love. See, that's the problem. Too many people have watched too many romance movies. Boy, I felt a little conviction right there, didn't you? And think life's going to be like a romance movie or a romance novel.
Good luck.
Could you say that one more time real loud, Brother Archie?
Good luck.
Good luck. The divorce rate in America, I've not checked recently, but I think was pretty close to 50%. Not only just in, I'm talking about even within the church.
Yeah.
People that says they're saved and love God, but yet they can't live together. Now again, I realize there's times that things comes up, and listen, I'm not knocking you, I'm not throwing you under the bus. I want you to understand that. God loves us too much. I try to preach everything I preach in love.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it's commitment. It's commitment. It's commitment. It's commitment. Thank God Jesus was committed in loving you and me. Because he knew we desired to be loved and that we deserved to be loved. And that's the reason God gave Adam a helpmeet there in the garden as a companion. Not someone for him to run over. Not for someone to be used as a slave. But for a companion. He took a rib out of his side and formed Eve that they might be together and be that one flesh. See, the thing about love is people think about the physical. And that's part of it. I understand that. But it goes so much deeper than just the physical. Oh, my soul. I didn't know I was going to preach all that, but there it is. Because we desire to be loved, we deserve to be loved. And then thirdly this morning, in closing, I thought about the demands. And I've been talking about this, so I'll be quick. The demands of genuine love. As we said, love means to put into action. I wrote this down. It means, genuine love means this morning to be willing to sacrifice. It means to be willing to serve. It means this morning to be willing to surrender our wants and our needs to the needs of others. Think about that. And then I want to give you this. See, here Christ is, as I said, the demands of genuine love. He's not making it an option. It's a command. It's a command. It's a command that you love one another. I thought about this, and matter of fact, the Lord gave me this little thought
a couple of weeks ago, and certainly it's not anything new, but I want you to think about it this morning. Love should be that which motivates us to serve, to surrender, to sacrifice. Love should be that which motivates us not to use the word love or the thought of love or so-called love to manipulate to get our own selfish desires. Now, let me give that to you one more time. Some of you looking a little stunned. Love should be that which motivates us to serve, to surrender, to sacrifice for the needs of others, for the love of Christ, and certainly for what He's put us here to do, but also for one another. I truly believe that as He's talking about fruit and more fruit and much fruit, I believe He's talking basically about the fruit of love. Now, I understand there's other things that go with, but I truly believe that's what He said. And so that should be the thing that motivates us this morning. We should be motivated to come to church, to be faithful to God, to pray, to read His Word, to worship Him, simply because we love Him. We ought to be willing to serve our spouses and serve our children and be there for them through thick and thin and to help them and to serve them this morning, simply because we love them this morning. Should motivate us. But many people, I'm afraid, too many times use the word love or what they call love to manipulate to get what they want. Their own selfish desires. I'm glad Jesus wasn't like that.
Amen.
But they use manipulation. And could I say today, you see it all the time. Even those little children sometimes will learn the art of manipulation. You want to know why? Because it's in this flesh. Well, Daddy, if you really love me, you'd let me. Huh? Let me tell you, children, something. Mom and Dad didn't get to where they're at today, and some of them didn't get a few gray hairs and a few bald spots and a few wrinkles just by accident. They've been through some things.
Right.
Hey, man. And what they're trying to do is help you, not hold you back. But see, our children, I don't know why I'm going here, but our children are taught too much at an early age the art of rebellion.
Yeah.
Especially this generation coming on now. Bless God, if I don't like it, I'll just rebel against it. I'll go out and protest it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? You know why we got a divided nation this morning? We got a lot of rebellious people. In the Bible, according to what the Bible says, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
Nobody don't want any authority over them. Thank God that I had some authority in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Why won't they, preacher? Why won't they? Because they love you. Why won't God... Why does God speak to our heart when we're getting ready to get in some trouble? Why does He do that? Why don't He just let us go ahead and do it? Because He loves us.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean, like I said a while ago, sometimes we're just going to do it anyhow. Because we determined. We know what's best. Man, I don't know how I got on preaching love and got on all this, but here it is. The demands of genuine love. That we're to love God, we're to love one another. Love is a commitment. Love is just not a word that we say in passing. Love is not just that warm, fuzzy feeling. It feels good to be loved. Absolutely. But it goes so much deeper. It's a commitment. It says that I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with my spouse. I'm going to stick with my family. With God's help through thick and through thin.
Amen.
That's love. Love is being able to have Judas at the table. Love is setting Judas down and washing his dirty, filthy feet, knowing that he's going to betray him. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to. But friend, that's the kind of love God wants you and I to demonstrate with one another. We get mad, we blow up, we won't speak. All the thing we can think about is how am I going to get them back. Now, where does love factor into all that? Now, I'm not saying let people run over us and abuse us and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that at all. And just like I said a while ago, there are some times that two parties just can't come together. One just ain't gonna give it up. You can't make people love you.
Right.
Man, that's a thought too, isn't it? A lot of folks spend their time and spin their wheels on trying to make somebody love them. And friend, you can't make somebody love you. Love. We celebrate it, and that's okay. We sure ought to put it to practice. Because everyone desires to be loved. Everyone deserves to be loved, and you are. But then there's the demands of genuine love. It means you got to go that extra mile sometimes. It means you got to be forgiving, long-suffering. Oh, the love of Christ. How He's loved us. And I know none of us here today are Christ. Or is Christ. And I know if most of us to be honest, we got a ways to go yet. Amen. But Lord, help us to really consider this genuine love. It means it's going to cost us something along the way. But could I say it'd be well worth it? If we'll love like Jesus has instructed and commanded us to love. That's just the first point. I had some more, but I'm done. Finished. And in closing, love. Love. Genuine love. Have you experienced that in your heart today, friend? Well, I want to tell you, you can. There's people all around this world today don't feel like anybody loves them, but God does love them. Even people that call themselves Christians may not love them, but God loves them. God loves you today. And God will save you. God will redeem you if you'll ask Him. And if you're here today, and for some reason you've allowed this love to grow cold in your heart toward God, toward your spouse, toward your, heaven forbid, even toward your children, or whoever it might be. Maybe it'd be your brother and sister in Christ. I don't know. Won't you let God come and warm that heart for you again one more time? Listen, there's no room in our life for hatred and bitterness and contentment and envy and strife. And jealousy, that needs to be replaced with love. Let's stand our feet all the building. Brother Scotty, come get us a song. Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the time that you have allowed us to be able to certainly stand in this pulpit once again and try to proclaim the thoughts that you put upon our heart and our mind for this day. And Lord, I could never begin, Lord, to even scratch the surface on genuine godly love. But Lord, this morning I pray that you would take the few simple thoughts that, Lord, you've placed upon my heart, and I pray that you'll work in every heart and every life, Lord, in this building this morning, especially to that one that could be here today lost. Lord, they've never truly experienced true, genuine love. But Father, I pray that they'd walk this aisle today and realize that there's a God that does love them and will save them and redeem them if he'll just come and ask. And then, Lord, for those of us today that are saved, Lord, I pray that you have challenged our hearts as well to know that so many people are looking for love, but so many people are looking for it in all the wrong places. Help us that we'd be an extension this morning of your great love. Now, Lord, I don't know the needs today, but, Lord, you do, and you've placed these thoughts upon my heart and my mind as I've preached this morning. So, Lord, I just pray we'd be obedient. Lord, and we would react this morning. We would move if we so need to. We get in this altar today, and we would ask for your help, for your leadership and your guidance. And for that one that's lost for salvation, take the invitation, use it, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. What you got for us, brother?